Picture this. You are a woman lawyer clerking for a federal judge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the United States of America. It is September of 1970, with revolution in the air, a time of long hair on men and short skirts on women. You are a rarity. Women constituted less than 3% of your law school class. And you join a group of 15 or so of your male classmates for lunch in the restaurant at the top of the Marine Bank, now the Chase Tower. The restaurant manager approaches and advises you that your group is sitting in the men's section, and you have inadvertently broken a rule by integrating that part of the lunchroom. The manager thinks that perhaps you should leave. You and the guy sitting near you politely suggest to him that he really doesn't want to try to oust one of a group of lawyers. He is upset, but allows you to be served just this once. This happened not in Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, but in the United States of America, and not in the Deep South, but in the supposedly enlightened Midwest. It happened to me. This kind of experience was really nothing new to me. On my first day of law school, in the fall of 1966, I had been told I was taking a man's place. And before I was hired for the federal clerkship, I was interviewed for a job in a small law firm. They had advertised for a woman, and when I asked the hiring partner why, he told me, "Because I won't have to pay her as much." I got up and left, but one of the other three women in my class took the job. I've spent my entire life ignoring boundaries, but that doesn't mean they haven't been there. In the early 70s, I had a woman client who was in the Navy. She couldn't get promoted without sea duty, and she wasn't allowed to serve aboard a ship. She had to fulfill that requirement on a Coast Guard vessel in Lake Michigan, but only after a lot of red tape. "You've come a long way, baby," claimed the ads for Virginia Slim cigarettes back in 1968. But we really hadn't. True, women had had the vote since the 19th Amendment became part of the Constitution on August 26, 1920. But until the 1964 Civil Rights Act prohibited discrimination based on race, color, religion, national origin, or sex, voting was one of the few rights the Constitution guaranteed to women. They often could not get a mortgage or get credit at a store. Women's sports were virtually ignored, while vast funds were spent on men's teams in schools and colleges. And women running for office, I did that, too, spent most of their time explaining why a woman could or should run. But it was in restaurants that the discrimination was most surprising to those of us who came of age in the revolutionary 60s. There was a restaurant in downtown Milwaukee called Heinemann's that had a men's grill, a room in which women were not allowed, although men as well as women were welcome in the remainder of the restaurant. Women demonstrated against this policy in front of Heinemann's in 1969, but it took a federal lawsuit, decided several years later, to affirm that such discrimination would no longer be allowed. The clincher came in 1983 when Marge Beal, the director of Wisconsin Governor Tony Earle's Milwaukee office, was refused admission to the University Club's dining room to attend a meeting with him. I could have warned her about that. A decade earlier, I'd been invited to speak at a gathering in one of the private dining rooms there, but had been stopped just inside the entrance and told that women had to use the back door. I told them that, since I was the guest speaker, and since I was already inside, I would just go on up to the room where my meeting was being held, thank you. They were too polite to physically throw me out. Governor Earle said he wouldn't attend any gatherings at the University Club until the policy was reversed, and it was shortly thereafter. Still, 1983. "You've come a long way, baby." Well, maybe we have now. Women serve in all branches of government, in the military, on the Supreme Court, in all professions. Several women have even been taken seriously as candidates for the presidency. We've had the vote for 91 years now, and I never miss an election, because I think of the women who were arrested and sent to prison as late as July of 1917, only 96 years ago, so that I would have that right. I owe it to them. And to Marge Beal, and to those women who picketed and then sued Heinemann's, and all the other unsung heroines. I've been told that I'm one of them, a pioneer myself. I've never thought about it that way. I've only thought, I'm an American. That should mean the same thing for every one of us who is.